Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? You know, every time you proclaim the Lord's death, he also proclaimed the devil's defeat. You know, God gave us this for our healing. And he wants you to, whatever you do, he doesn't want you to do it out of ritual. He wants you to do it out of faith so you can receive the blessings. Amen? Sometimes we get in habits and we do things. You know, if you find yourself doing something because that's what you do on Thursday or that's what you do on, you know, if you find yourself continually doing something, stop and ask yourself, why are you doing it? And are you really doing it in faith or just out of habit or ritual? You know, sometimes people take communion because it's the first Sunday of the month. That's just the way we do it. You know, sometimes people fast 2 days out of a week just because that's what they do. Sometimes people do this other certain tradition because that's what they do. God doesn't want you to get into a religious rut. He wants you to take the things that he's given you and do it on purpose and do it in faith. When we discern the body of Christ, we're discerning it so we can get healing in our bodies. We're going to focus on his stripes. You know, Jesus, he did take a terrible beating, but it's by his stripes. And they took this cat of nine tails. And it was a vicious whipping. It was not just some stripes on his back. These whips had pieces of bone and glass and stone weaved into them. So that when they would hit him, they'd drag it. And when they drug that whip across his back, it'd take pieces of skin and flesh off. That's why the Bible says they could see all my bones. See, this was for our healing. Our sins hadn't even been dealt with yet. And God's so good, he made sure that he took care of our healings before he took care of our sins. His body was broken for us. He took such a terrible beating. It was for us, for our healing, for our health. So, Father, we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. We thank you that you took every disease, every sickness that was ever named, and even the ones that weren't named, so that it doesn't matter what the devil comes up with, you've already taken care of it. We're taking this for all of our protection. Jesus shed his blood, and it was in such a dramatic fashion that this sacrifice happened. It was messy. He shed his blood everywhere. But everywhere he shed his blood, we got some new freedom. He shed blood out of his forehead when he was at the Rock of Gethsemane. He got our willpower back there. He wore a crown of thorns, and he shed blood out of his hands and out of his feet, certainly out of his back. One of the most important things he did with his blood Well, he washed us clean and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But he also cleansed the Holy of Holies so that we can go boldly into the presence of God and ask him for mercy and grace in times of need. It's not because we behaved all week, and it's not because we repented, and it's not because we asked God to forgive us. It's not because of nothing we could ever do. It's because the blood of Jesus is upon us. We can go into his presence and get help. We thank you for this. Huh? Open your Bibles up to the book of Numbers chapter 13 and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this beautiful day that you've given us. We can worship you in spirit and in truth as we look into your word, and the Holy Spirit teaches us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 13. God had this Moses and the children right to the river, right to the edge of the promised land. He had them there. He finally got them where he wanted them. He wanted to get them across the river. The Lord, in verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man. Everyone a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, go over to verse 17, because we're not going to go through all the names of all the people and their tribes and all this stuff. But verse 17 says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. See the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether they be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, bring of the fruit of the land. And this time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, searched the land for the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. They ascended by the south, came unto Hebron, and Hebron, Ahiam, Shei, Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. They bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. After 40 days, remember that number. And they returned to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him, said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the people that we sought in, that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. How we see ourselves has huge implications on how we will be. Now, these guys had an absolute promise from God. Said, this is a land that I've already given you. I want you to go in there and look at it. They went in there for 40 days. They cut down a cluster of grapes that took two men to carry out this cluster of grapes. Have you ever thought about these grapes? I mean, you know, a cluster of grapes is like this. But this cluster took two people. They had to put it on a rod. It took two people to carry this cluster of grapes out. What, are they that big? Like a watermelon? That'd be cool. That's big grapes, man. Took two people to carry out a cluster of grapes. And they walked around in there for 40 days. They had the promise of God. And they came back and they said, man, this really is a land flowing with milk and honey. They talked about the promises of God. And see these grapes? They see these fruits? This is cool stuff. But this is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. They lied right there. Fear. Fear. Got in there. And they said, we've seen all the land. We've seen the promises. It's a good place. Got big grapes. But it eats people up. Well, they lied right there. They were in there for 40 days and it didn't eat them up. They were fine. But they seen these giants. Just to clear things up. These Amalekites and Hittites, these guys, these were giants. These were giants. There were giants in the land. No doubt about that. But here's the thing. They said, we seen ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. They didn't say anything about them giants seeing them as grasshoppers. It said, we seen ourselves as grasshoppers. You know, later on, when they finally did get across the river into the promised land, the people of the land were afraid of them because they had heard what the Israelites were doing when they came into the land to take it over. See, the enemy seen God's people the way God seen them. But right now, on this side of the river, God was trying to get them to see them the way he seen them, and they weren't buying into it. Only Caleb, anybody, they had a different spirit. The others seen themselves as failures. They seen themselves as weak and insignificant, not able to do what God had called them to do. See, it's not just the people in Israel, the Israelites that were at the Promised Land that day. The church struggles with this today too. They'll get an attack. It could be poverty. It could be any kind of number of challenges that anybody might face. But they'll see themselves as always being broke. They'll see themselves as always being weak. They'll see themselves as always being sick. They'll see themselves as always being a failure, as always not being enough to do what they need to do. They see themselves as weak, but you know what? That's not the way God sees you. He wants you to visualize your results before you pray. Now there's a false teaching floating around that says you get what you pray for. And that's not true. You get what you believe you receive. There's people praying for stuff all the time. They're just belting the air. They're just beating the air without no belief, just throwing some stuff out there hoping something will happen. But you have to believe you receive when you pray. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering, saying unto them, have faith in God. Literally, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. This is not something that is unattainable to you. Jesus told you to have the God kind of faith, then it must be attainable. But is this some kind of a super pumped up feeling that you get? Or this, what is this? The God kind of faith is that faith that says something. Remember, God spoke light into existence. The light's still going out there creating at the speed of light. We haven't caught up to it. Still going. But Jesus gave us the directions right here. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, you need to circle that word, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you get born again, you become a whosoever. That means you're 100% qualified for this verse that Jesus is talking about. That means he's talking to you. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You notice, Jesus only talked about believing once in there, but he talked about talking three times. Something about saying three times in there. Jesus just said right there, you can have what you say. You remember in the parable of the sower, he said that the sower sows the seed. And we've discerned that the seed is the Word of God. So we know that words are seeds. So every time you're talking, you're sowing seeds. Now the devil knows more about this than most of the church does. And he's going to be quick to make sure when you sow some bad seeds that those things pop up. See, this is why it's so important to watch your tongue. And here's what the church has majored on. Don't cuss. I'm not saying cussing's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. Stop calling this place a desert. Stop calling yourself sick. Stop calling yourself weak. Stop calling yourself broke. Stop calling yourself stupid. You're sowing seeds into your life. You're sowing seeds into your heart. When you get born again, you become a supernatural seed-growing machine. Every time you say, I'm so broke I can't pay attention, guess what? You just get a little broker and a little dumber. It might sound like a cool thing, but it's not. Those are poison words that you need to erase from your vocabulary. You need to get them out of there. When you keep saying something and you keep saying it and saying it, you're going to start visualizing it and you're going to start seeing yourself as being that. And that's what's going to happen. Amen? You need to pay particular attention to the words that you're sowing. There are people running around here that are convinced that this drought is going to go on and on and on and on and on. And they keep talking about it. So, boy, it's just going to be drier and drier and drier and drier. Well, they do. They're sowing seeds. They're sowing seeds. They're sowing seeds. They're pumping seed out there as fast as they can. And then there's another group. They're talking about fires. Said, you know, this is just perfect time for fires. I'm afraid we're going to have big fire season. Job said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. He kept talking about it. I said, people don't understand. You keep speaking those thoughts that the devil gives you, guess what's going to happen? Those thoughts are going to come to realization. It's just as easy to speak something good as it is to speak something bad. Amen? Why can't you say this is a land flowing with milk and honey, tall green grass with rivers, creeks flowing, fish in the creeks, a good land with plenty of rain and abundance of grass? Isn't it just as easy to say that as El Nino's here and it's just going to be dry, 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 dry. We're going to have dry lightning and it's going to cause fires and it's just going to be a wreck and the ranchers are going to sell all their cattle and it's whoa, 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 whoa. Knock it off. Start speaking the blessing over this land. Talk to this land. I seen a guy the other day. There were some clouds coming. They said, no, the wind's blowing. Every time the wind's blowing, it don't rain. It just, you know how many times I've seen it rain when the wind's blowing here? Look at Proverbs chapter 23. There have been several times the wind would have blown my hat off if it wasn't so heavy with rain. I don't gripe about it. I like getting soaking wet. I got dry clothes waiting for me at home. I'll get warm. I'll get dry. It'll be okay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think about that for just a second. For as a man thinketh in his heart. You know, when I was in junior high, I was one of the scrawny little runts. I literally, I barely weighed 112 pounds, 116, if I was fat, maybe. And so you can imagine, man, I got tossed around a lot. The bullies, you know, there was some big kids in my class, in my school, and I got thumped on quite a bit. So I had a low self-esteem. I had a low picture of myself. I had, a low outlook. You know, and several people had talked me down, when I was a kid, just different grown-ups saying, you're just going to be a nothing. You're never going to be successful at anything. You're never going to go anywhere. And I bought into this. See, they were sowing seeds into my heart, and I didn't have any defense against it, so I just soaked it all in. One day I was in the school library and I was running around, and of all things, I seen this book. It was As a Man Thinketh in His Heart by Kenneth Hagin. I thought, I'm gonna look at that. Sounded kind of cool, I was looking at it, and it was in a public school library. I thought, that was back before it was completely taboo. I was starting to read it, and it's started talking about getting born again, and the devil kind of twisted me the wrong way, and I thought, man, I don't want none of this Jesus stuff, and I went and put that book back. A turning point in my life right there, and the devil got me to take the wrong road. It took a long time to learn that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is he. One thing I learned from the world champion bull rider, he said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. One of the first verses I ever memorized was, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I didn't know much, but God had finally impressed upon me to start reading the Bible, and a lady gave me a book of prayers, and I started reading that, but I picked up on that verse. After a lifetime of people telling me, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, you're not qualified to do this, you're not good enough to do that, you're not meant for this, you're not meant for that, sowing seeds of doubt and failure into my life for ever since I was little, I got a verse from God that said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So then, next thing I know, I started doing things that all these people said I couldn't do. And then I upped it. And I left home. And then I really started doing things that all these people said I couldn't do. What happened? God got a hold of me, and he changed me from the inside out. See, that's how he does it. He'll do it with you. Everybody that he's gotten anything done with at any given time, he's changed them from the inside out, and he's gotten a hold of their tongue and changed their confession. He got them to believe differently in their hearts. Because he got his word in them, and he gave them a different outlook, a different picture on their life than what anybody else had ever given them. I remember we had one stoplight in our county. But there was sometimes I'd have to go over to Gillette It had about 20,000 people in it. So there was more stoplights. And it just tear me up. I'd be so tore up over these stoplights and the traffic. And I'd just be so freaked out. By the time I got there and I started down, I had run stoplights or I'd be stopping and it was green. And everything was just all wrong. I thought Gillette was going to kill me. But God changed me from the inside out. And I remember one day I was driving through Fort Worth in a semi and I thought, how did this happen? What changed? He changed the way I seen myself. That's what he does with everybody that he gets anything done with. He changes the way they see themselves. He'll take you from seeing yourself as a grasshopper in their eyes to you being a giant killer in his eyes. See yourself the way God sees you. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Here was a guy. This centurion, he was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. He just heard about Jesus. And he went to Jesus and he said, all you got to do is say your word and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man of authority and I say to this man, go and he goes. I say to this man, come and he comes. All you got to do is say your word. You know one thing Jesus said about this guy? There's only two people he talked about having great faith, and neither one of them were Jews. But this centurion was one of them. He didn't look at himself as deserving anything. He didn't look at himself as having earned anything. He just looked at Jesus and said, all you got to do is say your word. He didn't see himself as having failed the law. He just seen Jesus. But look what Jesus said. He said, yeah, go your way as you believed. So the centurion believed he received his miracle even before he saw it in the natural. And it didn't say nothing about the centurion asking him, well, how will I know? He just turned around and went. He got it. His servant was healed. What God wants us to do is see ourselves as having received what we asked for. So it's okay to daydream a little bit. Remember, whenever there's a problem, whenever there's something wrong, it's because there's something right. There's something that has already been provided. If there's lack, there's sickness, if there's fear, if there's anything wrong, there's already something that's been made right. And something that has already been provided at the cross. So find that answer, whether you need deliverance or healing, whether you need finances or success, whatever it is that you need, find your answer in the Bible. And then daydream. See yourself with the answer. See yourself operating in whatever it is that you need. Spend some time reading about it in the Bible. Spend some time thinking about yourself with this answer and what you do. Be Read the scripture. I know every one of you has seen yourself with the wrong thing at some point. I mean, you played that. I like what Keith Jarrett said. I've lived through a lot of terrible things. 97% of them never happened. Only in my mind. How many of you have thought the worst thing? And you just played that movie out in your head all the way to the dirty end. Every single one of us has. See, if the devil can get you to play that movie, why not let God get you to play a good movie in your head? Amen? Let him play his thoughts in your head. Let him play his word out in your life. And that's the first step. By meditating on his word, and you get to thinking about it, and you start dreaming about it, you start visualizing it, and you actually start drawing pictures in your mind how this ought to work out. And then you pray it, and you believe you receive it, and boom. Amen? But it starts with getting the word in our heart and meditating on it and then sowing those seeds. Until that seed gets so strong in your heart that you speak it forth. Amen? Yeah. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you've done for us in your death and your burial and your resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us on a day-to-day basis as our high priest making intercession for us. It means he's taking our prayers and making them perfect before the Father. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when he completes our salvation, completes our redemption, when we see him face to face. In Jesus' name, we thank you for these things. Amen. All right, we have coffee and cake and cookies.